So good to see everybody. How's everybody's week been going this week? Good, good, good. It's always good to have a good week. And, of course, the definition of good can be of various meanings to it, can't it? But anyway, it has been a good week, productive week for me. And try to have a productive week every week. But can y'all hear me okay tonight? All right. Okay. Good deal. Good deal. I want to mention some folks this evening, and then a couple announcements, and then we will have our time of prayer together. And then Brother Jeff has a song, so looking forward to that. First, I had about a two-hour visit with Brother Snyder today and Miss Marcia, and so... He's coming along pretty good. He moved the whole time in his recliner, as you can imagine, because of the type of surgery he had. Had back surgery. They had to do some bone infusing. Has a metal plate back there and some screws. So I tell you, it hurt me talking about it. But actually, the infusion that they did made him a little bit taller. And not that he's already tall enough, but a little bit taller. And so, but he had a brace on, and he was sitting there, and, of course, just trying to get comfortable, as you can imagine. It was last Monday when he had the surgery, and I think he has an incision about like that back there. So big-time back surgery. But he's saying that, he feels confident that he can preach Jubilee Sunday morning opening service. I told him, I said, we now have a podium with wheels on it. And Brother Don's class, I said, because we use it on Wednesday nights, I said, if we have to, we can wheel it out. You know, we can put you right down here and you can preach from your wheelchair. of course, I was being funny about the wheelchair, but realistically, he can, we got the high boy chair, I think, in there, and he can just prop himself up. And preach for us. So on Sunday, March the 5th, it starts at 10:30. Yeah, in the morning. And we got some flyers back there, and we'll mention some of that here in a moment. But anyway, so but I was thinking, what if something happens and he just doesn't feel up to it? Not that he doesn't want to, nor can he push through. We know he's determined, but physically we don't want to set him back any. So a couple weeks ago I asked Brother Brian, because I know Brian Busby is someone that Brother Snyder can call on in a moment's notice. And so I have him on standby for Jubilee Sunday morning. If I called any other preacher, I would have to give at least a week or two notice, which means I have to find out from Brother Snyder this coming up week if he could do it or not. He may not feel like it next week, but he may feel like it at Jubilee. So, but we got all that straightened out, and so that's good. And he's doing good. Miss Marcia's doing good. And spent a lot of time laughing over there today. And I always enjoy laughing. And laughing more than crying, right? And so I had a good time there with them. But do continue to pray for him. And her in your prayers. Miss Claudia Darby, as all of you know, has been hospitalized since last Friday, and several of you have been up there, including myself. What day was that that we ran into each other?
Yesterday.
Whew. Wow. It's at Paulden. Yeah, Paulden. Just there, outside of Hiram, right before Dallas. So. But anyway, all my days are just mushy, running in together. And but anyway, she's doing okay. She's of course, as anyone would be, being in the hospital for a week and not receiving the best news as possible, would be upset. And I know she's listening tonight, and so we're praying for you, Miss Claudia. We love you, but. There are some talks of palliative care being sent to our house to just make her comfortable and help her along the way. They were going to talk about putting a stent in her lungs, but they felt that it wouldn't be effective because of everything that's going on in her lungs. So we just ask that you just continue to pray like you have been for her, that they will, that she can get home and then get comfortable and coming back to church, whether that's wearing oxygen like Brother James Townsend does. Hey, there's no embarrassment in that. You know, that's why she's there. And so if she needs that, we'll get it for her and get her back here. But just continue to remember Miss Claudia in your prayers, and that'll be great. Continue to remember Miss Helen Bennett, Brother Larry Bennett's mother. She recovers from her hernia surgery. Miss Marianne Sanvey, she goes on the 22nd of next month for her other knee replacement. Bobby McClendon goes on the 27th of next month for a heart catheterization. So remember him for that. And Miss Krista Sapp, she had an emergency. Don and Carla Rich's daughter had emergency repair surgery. Was that yesterday as well? Jesus.
Okay.
Monday.
Okay.
All right. And so she had a surgery. When was the original surgery? A couple weeks ago? A month ago? Okay. Okay. So we're approaching a month. And so they had to rush her to the hospital 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and they did some repairs and, with the surgery that they performed originally, and got her all fixed up, and she's back home and doing good on her road to recovery. And so, but do remember her and Stephen and family, and as they continue to, she continues to get better, just remember them. Remember this Friday, the Burgess family, as they get ready for Brother T.D.'s homegoing service. And that's going to be up where he's from. And I believe it's 2 hours from here. I believe it's in Chattanooga. Okay. But in just a second. In Chattanooga. And, of course, his church home was Calvary Baptist as well. And then he's going to be buried at the Chattanooga National Cemetery. I believe it is National. I believe that's what that is. Of course, that's on our church Facebook page as well. All right, let me read off some other things, and then we will, and then we'll pray in just a moment. Well, let's remember our children's home. Let's remember Brother Trell Norton, his sister and her heart condition. James and Shirley Townsend. Leonard and Dolores Palmer, Brother Leonard, as you know, and all of his visits and things that he's been going to the doctor for. And, of course, Miss Dolores supporting him. Brother Harold, I texted back and forth to Brother Harold. He wasn't here Sunday, but he's doing better, and he's looking forward to coming back this Sunday. So remember Brother Harold. Let's remember Richard Martin. Maybe one day we can get a hold of him. Brother Richard, and so let's remember him. The Bendys over in Alabama, Randy and Diane Ely, the Dalys, Ashworth, Rusty, Chris Watkins. So miss them, the Watkins family coming. Melissa Slagle, Barbara Anderson, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, all of our shut-ins and those serving in the military. Remember them. Also got a friend, Brother Coomer is his last name, C-O-O-M-E-R, over in Kentucky, and he has COVID tonight, so he requested prayer. He sends me a daily devotional every single morning, and it's so touching and thought-provoking, but he requested prayer, and so just remember him. And then, lastly, I think we're all ready for Jubilee, and we got our final flyer out, and all the updates, all that's laid out good. Got the, as far as feeding our members every night, we got all that figured out and laid out, and I think we're good. Just remember CLU this month will be writing the cards to the preachers, and which is that this Sunday? Okay, I promise I'm fine, y'all. I got a lot on my mind, and Miss Cassie, Miss Marianne coming in. I told them I didn't rest well last night, and so that definitely goes into play with your memory and your mind. So plan on getting some good rest tonight. But anyway, all right. Is there any requests, any updates, anything to mention from the floor tonight?
Jeff's brother's wife, our sister-in-law, she may be facing some kind of heart surgery Saturday.
Okay.
They've got to bring her up from Panama City up to Birmingham for a CT scan. I think from that scan, they're going to tell whether they have to do this procedure. We don't know yet.
Okay. This is your...
His brother's wife.
Brother's wife, okay. Sister-in-law. All right.
Her name is Angie.
Angie, okay. Anyone else? We'll definitely remember her. Sure will. Pray that God will shut down the industry. We will remember your mama, Hassan. Anyone else? Okay. Well, good to see everybody tonight. Let's remember those who are not here. And I'm sure they got something going on. And just remember our young people downstairs and those who are teaching. And remember, Brother Jeff has a song in just a moment. So, all that would, meet us in the altar. We'll have a time of prayer together. And then Brother Jeff will bring us on. Brother Jeff. Appreciate that. Come home. Well, that's an exciting invitation, isn't it? Come home. I love going on vacation, but there reaches a certain point when you've been gone so long, you're just ready to come home. And sometimes you need a vacation when you get home from being on vacation. But anyway, we appreciate the song, Brother Jeff. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Had the privilege again to preach Grace Christian Academy Chapel this morning. And had a good time. Here at the church, I preached two or three Sunday mornings ago on Hold the Rope. Y'all remember that? Hold the Rope. And but anyway, we had an idea to go and scrummage through my garage last night and try to find a rope for the young people this morning, and I found one. I found one about 20 foot long, and I was just all night last night. I was thinking, how can I tie it? I know it sounds simple, hold the rope, but I just, you know, I can't dangle a child off the stage or nothing like that. And so I had to come up with something. And there's a young man that has been in Lily's class since fifth grade named Tracy. And he plays basketball. And so I got in touch with him. I said, hey, you mind if I use you for an illustration? He says, I don't care. And so I got into the message this morning and had him grab a hold of the rope. And from time to time, I'd get to a passage and I said, the disciples held the rope, and I would tug on that rope, and I told Tracy, I said, Tracy, I got your back, man. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go. And they seemed to enjoy it this morning. And then the principal there, Brother Bo, he texted me before church tonight. He said, you won't believe where I'm at on our Wednesday night study for the teens. I said, where are you at? He says, I'm at that part in Mark where they let the man, they opened up the roof, and they let the man down by a rope. And I said, well, help yourself to the message this morning. And so, but anyway, just a good time this morning. Appreciate that. This is going to be our third message lesson out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. If you remember, a couple Sunday nights ago, we looked at the topic of the three conditions of man, and how that there's a natural man, and then there's a spiritual man, and then there's a carnal man. And so we looked at those things a couple Sunday nights ago in the Sunday night service, and we talked about the natural man, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. That natural man has no receiver. Has no receiver of the things of God, cannot receive them. The spiritual man has a receiver. They can receive and understand the things of God. And then the carnal man in chapter number 3 is the person who's saved but allows themselves to get tangled up with the affairs of this life. As Paul says, so that he cannot please him who hath called him to be a soldier. And so that was our first message, the three conditions of man. And then last Wednesday night, we looked at chapter 3, and we looked at carnal Corinth. And if you remember, under that that title, carnal Corinth, we looked at the two ministers and how that the church was divided over the two. Some said they were of Paul. The other said they were of Apollos. And we kind of joked a little bit about how some said that Paul preaches better than Apollos, and Apollos preaches better than Paul. And so we looked at that last week about the strife and the envy and divisions that were in this church. And a lot of it was due to what preacher they were following. Now, we ended last Wednesday night at verse number 9. And what I want to do tonight, I want to reread verse number 9 for the sake of one word, that last word in verse number 9. And then I want to read verse number 10 down through verse number 15. And the title of tonight's lesson is A Spiritual House Fire. A Spiritual House Fire. Notice in verse number 9, the Bible says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." And so once again, to explain verse number 9, Paul says that for we are laborers together with God. He's talking about himself and Apollos. He said, there's not Paul over here and Apollos over here. It's not who's for Paul and who's for Apollos. He says, we are laborers together. He says, ye are God's husbandry, or ye are the field that the crop, that the seed was planted in. But then he says, he likens the people of God to a husbandry or a field or a crop. But then he says, ye are God's building. Building. And so in verse number 9, he ends with the second picture, that of a building. All right? Now, notice if you would in verse number 10. He gets into a foundation in verse number 10. He says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. I'm going to stop there. Verse 10 and verse number 11 deals with the foundation of the building, if you will. Now, verse number 12 deals with the actual build of the building, the material. Look at verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And so we see that verse number 12 has to do with the building of the building. There's different material used here. There's gold, silver, precious stone. There's wood, hay, stubble. And then verse number 13 starts to talk about fire. Notice verse 14 and 15. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So verse number 13 through 15 deals with a fire. Back in verse number 12 deals with the building. And then verse number 10 and 11 deals with the foundation. And he's given us a picture of a day that's coming where our building will be made manifest, or our motive of what we're building will be made manifest. And he says there's coming a time where we're going to stand before God, those that are saved, that's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and the life that we lived, the things that we did, how we built upon Jesus being that foundation, all of those things will be tried by fire. I don't believe it's going to be a literal fire. I believe it is a picture of the things that we did with our time, the stewardship that we had, and what we did down here on earth. It will be tried as though by fire, meaning, well, if you put a rock in a fire, it's going to stand the test. But if you put hay in a fire, it's going to burn up. And so we literally have a picture of a spiritual house fire. He said there's a building going up. He says in verse 10 and 11, there's the foundation. verse number 12, there's the actual building process. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. And then verse 13 through 15 is the actual fire. And he says that if there's anything that will stand that test of fire, if it's the gold, if it's silver, precious stone, then there's going to be a reward. But he says if it's wood, hay, or stubble, which is symbolic to carnality, which is symbolic to ego, which is symbolic to doing things to edify the flesh, those kind of things will be burned up. So let's look at this spiritual house fire tonight, and I want to mention some things out of these verses, and I hope it'll be a help to you. Notice again in verse number 10, we see the foundation. Paul said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Paul here says that he is a wise master builder. But he's not giving credit to himself, because he first starts off by saying, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Paul said, the only reason why I have any fruit in my life, the reason I contribute my successes, what we've gotten done as an apostle, the churches that's been planted, is all due to God and his grace. He says, it's God who hath called me by his grace. It's God's grace that hath enabled me to be this preacher, this apostle. It's God's grace who gave me the mindset and gave me the clarity of mind to plant churches, to plant those seeds of God's word and for people to get saved. He says, I contribute my master building to my master, is what he's saying. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. And tonight, that's how any of us get anything done, the grace of God. Today over at Brother Snyder's place, we were talking, and he was talking about grace and mercy, and truly it's contributed. Anything in our life that's good, anything that gets accomplished, is all contributed, number one, by the mercy of God, because we always fall short, but then by the grace of God to enable us, after we fall short, to continue on laboring for him. So he was talking about God's grace and mercy. And truly tonight, it is the grace of God that allows us to keep laboring. And so he says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, he says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. And one commentator said this phrase here, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Instead of saying Paul versus Apollos, I, Paul, laid the foundation, and Apollos buildeth thereon. He leaves his name out. And he says, okay, I have laid the foundation. I have preached the gospel. Ye believed. And there's a foundation here because of the gospel that was preached and received. He says, and another buildeth thereon. What did he say back in our other verses? Verse number 8, now he that planteth, verse number 6, he says, I have planted, Apollos watereth, but God gave the increase. And so in like manner, he's saying, I have laid the foundation, I have planted, and another buildeth thereon. Apollos watered. And then he says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And so the gospel seed has been planted, it's been watered, and so he gives that imagery of the crop in the field, but also the building. He says there's a foundation now. There is a foundation, and a house is ready to be built. He says, but you got to take heed how you build your life. He goes into verse number 11. Look at verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he's saying that this foundation that was laid is a firm foundation. He says it is a ready-to-build foundation. He said, you can try to build a building on a sandy foundation. We already know that parable. The solid foundation versus the rock versus the sand. He said, but the first time a storm comes by, the first time a wind blows, it's going to blow everything apart that you're doing on that sandy foundation. And so he's driving home the point of this firm foundation for where there's ready, it's ready for a house to be built. He says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he's pointing to Jesus for this firm foundation and a readiness to be built upon because of its firmness. If it's sand, listen, you can try to build, again, you can try to build a house upon the sand. You can try to put carnal things on top of spiritual things. It never works. It has to be spiritual on top of spiritual. And so in verse number 10, verse number 11, we see this foundation. And the foundation is Jesus, and Paul laid the foundation, and he talks about how that I have laid the foundation, verse 10, and another buildeth thereon. But then he says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Again, he's talking to carnal Corinth, and he is driving home. There is a firm foundation in your life, but take heed how you build. All of the bickering, all of the envying and strife is not going to be the way to build your spiritual house. Now, verse number 12 gets into the building itself and the building material. He says, we have the foundation laid. Verse number 12, he says, now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. The verse continues, but we're going to pause for a moment. It drops into verse number 13. But he's talking about the building material. He says there is the option of gold, silver, precious stones, but then there can be wood, hay, and stubble also used to build a building. And so we see the building material. There's a difference. There's the things that last, gold, silver, precious stones. There's the things that that do not last, that are burned up quick, wood, hay, stubble. And so we see the building materials in verse number 12. And I want to wrap this up, my point for verse number 12, in verse number 13 through 15. Verse number 13, we get into the fire aspect. Verse 13, the Bible says, every man's work shall be made manifest. And so here again, we are picking up from the previous verse with the building material. Every man's work, the foundation is laid, and the work of that man or that woman will be made manifest one day, whether they built with stones, whether they built with hay. He says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. That's a definite article, the day. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And so there's coming a day where our works is going to be tried by fire. Again, this is an image he's given to us. I don't believe we're going to stand before God and there's going to be this fire pit, you know, and all these. And God's going to say, empty your pockets, old boy. And we know emptying all this stuff, you know, and whatever stands the test is reward or lack of reward. But he's saying there's going to be a house fire one day, a spiritual house fire, because when it is consumed, we'll see what it's made of. So he says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Gold, silver, stone, wood, hay, stubble. This fire will reveal what's been built upon that foundation. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And so this spiritual house fire on Judgment Day that's going to take place will consume the house, the building. And number one, the foundation is going to be the only thing left other than the building material on top of the foundation. Is this making sense tonight? Okay. Stuff like this, you got to tippy toe through. You can't just rear back and throw the football like a Hail Mary. You know, you can't do that. You got, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So let me ask you tonight. If there was a house fire, and of course there's the concrete foundation, but say the walls were made out of stone. There's two house fires. One, there's the concrete foundation. The walls were made out of stone and brick. And then there's a house over here. Let's just say a foundation, a concrete foundation, but the walls were made out of wood. And both were torched. We already know which one's going to stand the test. The one with the brick, the one with the stones. Well, he's telling us and giving us this picture that that's kind of how it's going to be for those who are saved on Judgment Day. We're going to be judged according to how we served down here. It's not about our salvation. You already know that. That was taken care of at the cross. The foundation will stand the test. The foundation that's been laid in our life, that foundation of faith, by the transaction of salvation, we believed, we repented of our sin. Jesus came in. There's the permanent foundation. The house can burn, whether it's hay or whether it's stone. There's still going to be that foundation. And he gets into that. He says, we will be saved, if so, by fire. But there will be the test. Now, the stone, the silver, the gold, those things are comparable to pure works, pure spiritual endeavors, things done for the right motive, with the right motive, things done to glorify God, things done is preaching and teaching and sharing the true doctrines of the Lord, the true gospel, doing things with the right motive, with the right heart to glorify and honor God. Those things will stand the test of the house fire. Again, the other things, the wood, the hay, the stubble, will burn up. And why is Paul even talking about this? He's talking about this because he's talking to a carnal people. Because they're bickering and they're arguing. He's saying, look, you're a house. I preached, Apollos, I planted, Apollos watered. There's a foundation in your life. Be careful how you do the rest of it. Be careful how you build. He said, bickering and arguing and strife and envy, that's not building a godly house. He said, there's coming a time where you're going to stand before God and everything you do down here is going to be tried by fire, and that kind of stuff will be burned up. Only the stones, only the gold, only the silver will stand, is the picture Paul's painting. Again, verse number 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. Our work shall be made manifest. While we did what we did, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed. Our works will be revealed one day by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And so this is either a time of reward or a loss of reward. I'm sorry, one second here. My piece of candy never melted like I wanted it to. I'm tired of juggling it around. It's reward or loss of reward. Now, I love what Paul says in verse 15 because he takes care of the subject of eternal security just in case anybody in that church was wondering. Verse 15, he says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss of reward, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Here's the picture. It's a person in his house and there's a fire. And he runs outside, and whether his house was made out of stone or whether his house was made out of wood, hay, or stubble, If it's out of stone, well, he still has a structure there. But if it's not, it's burned down to the foundation. Regardless whether it's still standing or not, he himself has escaped. That's the picture tonight that Paul is getting us to. Is he's telling us, hey, look, once you're saved, you're always saved. It isn't a matter of salvation here. It's a matter of conduct versus our conduct being carnal or spiritual is what he's saying. So he said there's coming a day where our works are going to be tried, what sort it is. And he said only the gold, silver, precious stones will stand the test. The wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up. And if you have some lasting structure there, it's going to be, there will be a reward for you. If not, that you won't receive a reward, but you'll still get to go in the house, heaven. And so tonight, there's a spiritual house fire in these verses. And we see all of this packed into 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And again, we've seen the foundation, verse 10 and 11. Verse number 12, the building. Verse number 13 through 15, the fire. And we'll bring it to a close right there tonight. You know, you could go on through the rest of the chapter. Verse number 16, he really drives it home. He says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Talking about a building. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple. He goes on and on and on to drive home his point. And so, I guess the walk away, the takeaway from tonight is about motive. Why we do what we do. And do we do it for the Lord or do we do it for ourselves? Well, I know you do it for the Lord. You're here tonight for the Lord. But sometimes it's challenging when you labor long and you go long. It's challenging to keep that motive pure. But we love you tonight. Thank you for listening. And we'll close out in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you, God. I've enjoyed going through these verses. Lord, I pray that you'll give us direction on where we should go next. We definitely like going verse by verse. I believe that's a good way to do it on Wednesday nights and in any church service for that matter. But God, I pray that you'll just give us grace. Paul said he's a wise master builder because of the grace of God. Lord, we ask for grace tonight. We ask for mercy. Help us, Lord, always exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. Help us abide in you, Lord. We love you tonight. Thank you for those that have come this way. I pray that you get us all home safely. Bless those, Lord, who are watching on Facebook. And bring us back safely on Sunday. And we'll worship you together as your church then, in your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Anything to mention before we conclude? I always like to ask. All right. You're at liberty to go. Class is dismissed. Make it to your next class on time now.